Well, Marcia came to me this week and she said, I had a thought come to mind for family camp. And I thought it sounded pretty appropriate. It's stand firm. Now, what might that mean to you, stand firm? 4 or 5 word answer. What comes to mind? Stand firm. I'll tell you what comes to mind for me, because nobody else had anything come to mind. What came to mind for me was this, that we need to be standing firm in our walk of obedience with God. And if we don't, we can become wishy-washy and get thrown off course and not keep moving forward with God. There's certain words in Christianity that are important. Example, is salvation important? Where does salvation come from? Only Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus says this, that only in me can you be saved. Only in him. How about words like repentance? How about this phrase that we use, the Great Commission? I think that might have some valuable words in to stand firm on. I'm going to share 3 examples of something here. It starts with the Great Commission. That's in Matthew 28. I'm going to read 16 through the end of the chapter, verses 20. And it reads like this. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, and the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. I wonder how those doubtful ones feel now, being read about themselves 2,000 years later. But Jesus came up and spoke to them and saying, all authority, say all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If you would recognize that, your life would be a lot easier. My life would be a lot easier. Go therefore and make disciples, you know, teaching them about all that Jesus talked about, and that gets mentioned in the next verse. But go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is an important thing, this word baptize. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Baptizing people. Does anybody see any place there? You have to back it up a little bit, Ellie. Like, say, verse 19. Does anybody see there where it says, if you're a pastor, baptize people? Oh. You mean you could do that? I could do that? You could do that? That's what it seems to say, doesn't it? Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I always change the word Son to Jesus. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I command you. It's for every one of us. You know, back a few chapters in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus even felt it was important for him to get baptized. Isn't that amazing? If he thought it was important, where do we fall into that picture? I'm going to start with verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan coming to John and to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered and said, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. How can you turn Jesus away if he says, you need to do this? And then he permitted him. After being baptized, listen to these words. Jesus come up immediately from the water. Now, if you're not baptized and you die, can you make it to heaven? My opinion is yes. How about the guy on the cross standing next to Jesus? Today, you're going to be here. So it's not like it has to happen, but it's something that should happen. And it's we don't have to do it. We get to do it. Is that a better way to put it? We don't have to. We get to. It's like, see what I have on my finger? Pretty soon, Brian, this month, baby, you're going to have one of these on your finger. But this is kind of like a sign that I'm married to somebody very special to me. Wherever she went, she's out there. Hello there, Sweetcake. I wasn't talking to Emma. I was talking to you. I still look at this pretty often. Probably not every day. Pretty often I look at this thing to remember I made a commitment to my Marcella. And water baptism is kind of like that too. I don't have to wear a ring, but I get to wear a ring. I don't have to be baptized, but I get to be baptized. And this is what Jesus was talking about. Let me go over one more verse and then a couple verses together in Romans chapter 6. And then I'm going to tell you about my history of being baptized. This might sound kind of strange to you, but I'll explain it to you, and maybe you'll see after I explain it what I mean, but I was baptized 3 times. But in in Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace might increase? May it never be. Okay? How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? What does that mean? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. That's important. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, I got a couple examples of people, baptisms I took part in years ago. But first, I want to share about myself. Cindy Knowles. She and I went to church together. We don't remember one another. I don't remember you. You don't remember me. I was with your brother, Billy, in my Sunday school class. And she couldn't remember whether she was ever asked to be baptized or not. But I remember because this is what happened. They set this time to be baptized, anybody at the Connors swimming pool in their backyard. Maybe so. I'm sure you know Jimmy and Brad Connor, the boys. I forget the dad's name that started that auto body shop in Bury, but the boys run it now. Jimmy runs it now. And they said, you can come and get baptized in the Connors pool. And my mom said, Jess, did you hear what they said? You can go swimming in the Connors pool. I heard it's a really neat pool. Wouldn't you like to go swimming? I could care less about being baptized, Mom. But you get to go in the pool, Jess. All right. I'll go get baptized so I can swim in the Connors pool. How's that for a heartfelt confession? It didn't mean a thing to me, but I got to go swimming. So I went swimming and I come home. And Mom said, how was it? Oh, it was a great pool. No, I mean the baptism. I don't know. I think they said a couple things, but I just was thinking about the swimming. So the bottom line is it didn't do a thing for me. And I grew up living for my own selfish, self-centered desires. And then I moved to Alaska. And when I was living up there, my mom stuck. She's a very sneaky woman. And you meet her in heaven, you can say, we heard you're pretty sneaky. But her name's Joanne Shingler. And when you meet her, you can ask her that. But she snuck this little Bible in my footlocker that I took to Alaska. And I was emptying out my footlocker in my dorm room. Did you do that yet, Bo? Emptied out your stuff into your room? Yeah. Did you find a little black Bible in there? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I found this little black Bible. I thought, oh, Mom. And I kept having this thought come to my mind. Every day, several times a day, what if God is real? What if God is real? What if he's real? And it's not like I didn't ever believe in God. I just didn't want anything to do with him because he was going to get in my way of my dreams. That makes sense? That's where I was at. But I couldn't get that thought, what if God is real, out of my mind. So maybe it was out of desperation. I was getting tired of hearing this. What if God is real? What if God is real? God, I'll make you a deal. I'm going to take this little black book. I'm going to open it up. And wherever it falls, that's where I'm going to start reading. And if I have it right, it was 3 chapters a day for 3 or 4 weeks. I have it written specifically in one of my books. But it didn't take 3 or 4 weeks for me to realize that God was real. Because the part of the deal was I would read that, and whatever it said, I would do it as best I could, and we'll see what would happen. And God loves a challenge. How many know God loves a challenge? Why do you think he picked you and me to be here today? God likes a challenge. And he proved himself so real that I couldn't do anything but surrender to Jesus. So I got baptized the second time in Alaska. And I've heard of Eskimos getting baptized in Alaska in the village, 55-gallon drums. I didn't have the drum. We went to a pool. Our college had a pool, so it was cushy, you know, no drums. But I got baptized, and I went to, it was Pastor Ralph Miller. I still remember his name. The first pastor I ever had in Sitka, Alaska, Ralph Miller. He's in with Jesus now, but for years I wrote Ralph. So Ralph, how's it going? And usually he didn't write back because he was probably pretty busy. Maybe baptizing people, I don't know. But I wanted to let him know how much I appreciated him. And he said, why do you want to get baptized, Jess? Because when I was baptized as a kid, I really didn't know anything about it. I didn't mean anything. I just did it to please my mom, to tell you the truth, and to go swimming in the Connors pool. And he said, well, I think you have a little better understanding now. Why don't we set a time for you to be baptized? And he did, and I got baptized. And I knew a lot more than I did from the first time. See what I'm saying? But the third time I got baptized was down here in the stream. It was only about 4 or 5 years ago. And at that time, I had lost a very special friend to cancer. And she had died. 3 of her kids were here at kids camp. They were counselors that year. And I spoke about water baptism, and because, let me read this here again. Here we go. Baptized into his death. And it struck me. I'm not sure I understand what that means. I was baptized the second time. I knew what I was doing, kind of. How many of you know none of us are going to have anything figured out in the Bible totally until we go to heaven and he tells us? But, you know, we just do the best we can, right? But I came across this phrase, baptized into his death. And I don't know if I could say I submitted to be baptized into his death. And I shared that. And those three counselors joined me in the stream that morning because their mom died. And they weren't sure whether they were baptized into Jesus' death. So we were all baptized again. And it was very meaningful to me because now I knew a little more of the puzzle, what it means to be baptized. It's not just to go swimming in a pool. And it's not even just to say, there, I did it, God. But it's to realize that we're to die to ourselves completely. And we can only do that with God's help. And even then, we still make mistakes. But it's to be our goal, to die to ourselves instead of living for ourselves. Well, my first one, I've already told you, was to go to the Connors Pool. And the second one, it was in Alaska because I felt like God wanted me to be serious about it this time. But the third time, it was to die to myself. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. What does it even mean to die to yourself? And how often do you have to do that? Me, it's several times a day usually, you know, because your life gets so busy and complicated and you take your eyes off of Jesus and then you put them on what you have to do and that messes it up, doesn't it? But Jess, I thought you died to yourself. Well, I did, but. When I came back from Alaska, I stayed with my mom and dad for several weeks, and then I moved into a little shed along the stream. I think it was either 8x8 or 10x10. I can never remember. I even went out down, it's still there, and I've measured it sometimes, but it was small, okay? I had one light bulb hanging from the ceiling, and I had one plug to plug in a cassette player and a little hot plate to heat up some water because I jumped in that stream from beginning of April to the end of October, but I was not going to jump in that stream in December. But anyway, it was a rough life, but you know, I didn't even really care because I had all this time with God. And my mom and dad were watching because this is what I did. And if you have parents or relatives that haven't given in to Jesus, this is the best advice I got to give you. You just, on as many occasions as you can, get with them and don't tell them everything they're doing wrong. They already know that. You get in their face and say, let me tell you, Dad, what God did in my life this week. And then I say, isn't that neat? Of course, he has to say, uh-huh, or something like that. He wants his bread pudding. But you just start sharing the gospel of what Jesus is doing in your life. And it gets to him after a while. And after several months of that, my dad said, can we get together and talk? So we got together and he said, Jess, your mom and I have been listening to what you're saying and we've been watching how you're living your life. And we don't know what it is, but you got something of God that we have never seen before and we want it. Will you pray and that we could have that same relationship with this living God that you have. I said, Dad, I'd be so honored to do that with you. And soon, within a month, they said, well, maybe we should get baptized. Well, I guess you should. So we met down at the cabin, and it wasn't a flood stage, but the water was muddy, high, and everybody was sitting at the cabin area, and I was preaching about being baptized, and I looked over. This is how naive I was. Stupid. Big tree started floating down right in front of us. I said, look at that tree! And that will make you want to jump in that stream, right? But anyway, there is this big hunk of a guy, not as big as Hulk, but close. You know, he could be easily a football player. Ed Cundiff. You might have known some of the Cundiffs. Do you know any of the Cundiffs? No? But Ed was this big guy. He was one of the first guys I ever led to Jesus in Jonestown. And I got so many stories to tell you. But anyway, Ed said, I want to be baptized that day too. Okay, Ed, you come down. The whole church will meet there for the baptism. And we're going over, and I said, Ed, you're a big guy. You're going to come in here first. I'm going to baptize you, and then you're going to help with the other people so they don't float by, okay, like that tree. And so this is the honest truth. I put them under, and I lost them. I literally lost them. We'll have an Ed in there for you, too. But Ed was the first one. He come up downstream about 10 feet, coughing and spitting, but this biggest smile on his face. I thought for sure, well, that's one way to get to heaven, get baptized, and get killed, drowned. But he was so happy that he helped me with my parents. My mom was a little overweight, maybe not a little, but she came in, and my dad, and we baptized them. And Ed was just standing downstream just to catch him like this if I did lose him. And so it was kind of comical, but they got baptized. My grandparents, Lewis and Beatrice, you don't hear many Beatrices anymore, do you? Lewis and Beatrice Shingler, my dad's parents. I've only ever done this two or three times in the about 48 years I'm working on as a pastor. But from the pulpit that morning, I said, Dad, if you invite your parents to church next week, they'll come and they'll give their lives to Jesus. And I could see him kind of like this. You have to understand, my grandparents hadn't stepped foot in a church in over 50 years. They were Lutherans, and they weren't even Christmas and Easter Lutherans. You know what I'm trying to say? They just haven't ever went. And so my dad asked them, and guess what happened? Next week, they showed up. My dad was like this, you know, grinning, like Ed and them coming out of the water. But he's waiting for the big moment. Now what are they going to do? Are they going to give their life to Jesus? And I walked over to him and said, after church, Pop, that's what we called him, Grammy. How would you like to invite Jesus into your life? And they had tears in their eyes, and they said, we would like to do that. So I knelt down by them on their seats down at the youth center, and they gave their lives to Jesus. That was Sunday morning. I think Monday or Tuesday, I stopped by their house and asked them, so, Papa, Grammy, why did it take you 50 years? You're in your 70s now. Why did it take you 50 years before you finally gave in to God? And his answer is a classic. And I'm sure there's a lot of people think this way. They said, well, you have to understand, Jess, we never thought we were good enough. That was their answer. And you know what I said? Pop, get in line right behind me. Because none of us are good enough. That's why Jesus died for us and gives us this chance to get right with him, because we can't do it on our own. And so they were serving God the rest of their life until they went home. They were our first two cooks at our first 2 years of kids camp. We had meetings. We were renting one of the, I think it might have been the Hawes Auditorium down at Bloom U at the time. We were holding services for the college kids. And I was up front helping lead worship. And so I was facing the congregation, almost all college kids. Guess who came in? My grandparents showed up in their 70s with all these college kids. And they came in and they sat down and we started worshiping. They jumped up and they were clapping and raising their hands and thinking, it can't get any better than this. Can't get any better than this. So it doesn't matter how old, it doesn't matter how much you know. You just have to decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Now, did you notice when I was reading that, those verses in chapter 3 in Matthew, where it says, then he, John the Baptist, permitted him, and after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Now, if I've talked to people like this, I was sprinkled when I was a little baby. Is that good enough? Oh, that's up to you. I wanted to do it the same way Jesus did. I mean, come up out of the water. That's when he experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And so that's what I wanted, and that's what I got. Number two and number three. My grandparents were baptized in their 70s because they never thought they were good enough. But now they realized it doesn't matter how good you are. It matters how much you surrender to God. And they were baptized in the pool of a brook because it was in the wintertime. And my grandmother never learned to swim. She had this deathly fear of going underwater. Maybe some of you have experienced that. But that's where she was at. So for her to let me put her underwater and bring her back up, that was a real step of faith for her. But her husband did it. I could just see her saying, well, Louis did it. I'm going to do it too. Well, Holt did it. I'm going to do it too. And she did. The other example I want to give before I start to tie this all up is this. Years ago, this is before Marsh and I were even married. I was pastoring for about a year and a half during that time here in Jonestown. And it's close to a half a century ago. And there was this single lady that used to come to church with her three or four daughters. Her name was Betty, the mom. And she said, after service, can we talk for a minute? I said, well, sure. So she come up and we sit down and talk. And she said, my husband, who left me 3 or 4 years ago, never contacted me since. I had no idea whether he was even alive. He gave me a call this week and wants to get back together. And I didn't know what to tell him. I said, let me talk to my pastor. And I'll give you an answer in a couple days. So Betty and I talked, and this is what came to mind. Betty, give him a call back and tell him, yes, I will meet with you, but there's some stipulations. We're going to meet at the church in Jonestown, the Methodist one up here at whatever, 7 o'clock. We're going to meet at the Methodist church at 7. And if you want to meet with me and talk with me, you need to be at that service, and then maybe we'll talk. Sneaky, huh? Guess who showed up that night? Frank. Hadn't seen his wife for several years. He showed up. And towards the end of the service, Frank gave his life to Jesus. And you think, well, was he serious or not? He seemed serious. But he came up afterwards and said, Jess, when can I be baptized? You had to have some religious upbringing somewhere, right? And he said, when can I be baptized? I said, Frank, we'll set up a time and we'll within a week or so, we'll get together and you can be baptized. He said, no. Why don't we do it now? Well, number one, it's still thundering and lightning a little bit outside. And number two, it's pitch dark. He said, I don't care. You game? What am I going to say? Okay, Frank, let's go for it. We'll tell everybody. We're all going to drive down to the cabin where Amelie and Drew's cabin was, next to yours, and we'll baptize you. And so we drove down, and some of you know Randy Angle. I know you know Randy Angle. Randy was a good friend of mine, and he was a little different, but he was he had a good heart. I have so many stories to tell. He's the only guy that broadsided a chicken egg truck, broadside eggs everywhere. And he got stuck in a ditch, snow ditch. So he got out of his car and started rocking it until he could get out of the ditch, only he never took it out of drive. It had four cars before it stopped at the bottom of the hill. But he had a good heart. Did you know those? Yeah. Anyway, so Randy jumped into his big, he had one of those big old, like a Cadillac, an old Cadillac, a yellow one. Remember that? And he jumped in that, and he was driving down, and all the people from church were driving down, and it was like 7:30 at night, and it was already dark. And so I was already out in the water waiting for Frank to come down. Frank walked out there, and he was in the water next to me. And I was looking back at all the other people up there, and there was this big guy get out of the car that was sitting next to Randy in the front of his car. I don't remember seeing him in church. Oh, well, I'm glad he's here. And we baptized Frank. The thundering and the lightning stopped. And we baptized Frank. And he seemed pretty serious. And didn't think much of it until Monday morning. I always had this habit of going over to visit my mom and dad on Monday. Monday was my day off. And I'd still try to take that as a day off, do personal things. But I always stopped by my mom and dad's Monday morning from about 8 to 9. And I got doing whatever else I was going to do. And my mom said, Jess, I have a question to ask you. Sure, what's the question? Who was that big guy that came with Randy and got out of the car and stood next to Randy? He was standing between Randy and me. Who was that big guy? I said, Mom, I seen him too, but I have no idea who he was. I don't remember seeing him in church, but I'm going to go into Randy's. I'll stop by Randy's next and ask, who was this big guy? Randy, who was that big guy that come down to the cabin with you, sat next to you in the front, got out and walked over and stood between you and my mom? Randy said, there wasn't anybody in the car. Nobody came with me. It was just your mom and I standing there with the rest of the congregation. So I went back and told my mom, Randy never seen him. But I seen him. You seen him. What do we do with that? I'm guessing the only good answer would be that was a big angel. And you know, you see angels like with little feathers and stuff flying around, Twinkies or something, you know. You read about the angels in the Bible. They're a hunk of a man and with a big sword, you know. And this guy could probably take on Hulk Hogan. And he was a big guy, but nobody seen him but my mom and I. But we seen him. It was only one of two times in my life that I actually knew. The second time, even more so, that I'm talking to an angel. That's another story. Pardon? Say that again. Israel, Isaiah, did I tell you that? Okay, so everybody's going to hit you up for that story afterwards. Next Sunday, we're going to have a shortened service. Worship whatever the worship leader will do, but I'm only going to get here maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And we're going to have some extra guests here coming from out of town that are spending that weekend with us. And I hope you guys get to at least have some time. Come up and join us and just relax and get to know your family better, spiritual family. But then we're going to go down and we're going to baptize Bonnie. And I was thinking I was putting this together. There has to be more of you that had a little conviction from one of the things I was saying that I think I need to be baptized. Maybe for the first time, maybe for whatever reason, maybe I'm one of those people. I'm just curious. Any hands? Anybody convicted about that today, this morning? No? One? Two? I'm guessing there's more of you. You can tell me this week if you want. But it's a good thing to be steadfast and sure in what you're doing, trying to follow God and do it the way He tells you to do it, the way He did it. He's always our example for everything. The two raised their hand after we're done. We could just meet up here for a few minutes. I want to talk to you a couple minutes. Anybody else wants to join us? If they're serious about wanting to be baptized next week, you can come up and join us too. But other than that, we're just going to close. But if you feel during the week that, hey, I need to be part of that too, just give me a call. Let me know. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit, like I'm going to talk to these two up here for a few minutes. Lord God, I just amazed with what you can do with just about anybody. I mean, who am I? I remember going to this pastor's meeting and they asked about who I was, where I grew up and all. And this is the answer. The one guy, he had this three-piece suit on. He looked dressed to the T, and I was probably just in a shirt or something, a T-shirt. He said, well, you're nothing more than a country bumpkin. You know what I said? You got me pegged pretty good, buddy. I'm proud of it. So it doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what you have or who you know. It matters who you know. And how you're related to Him, and how you've chosen to die to yourself. That's the big thing. So God, I just pray that you would be speaking to us this week, for all of us to, if you know where we're at, and if we need to be convicted about doing something your way, then you would help embolden us enough to give Jess a call and say, I want to be on that list. Because this is going to be an amazing time together. Even if it's just Bonnie, I'll at least get one big guy to stand below you downstream, right? It's dangerous to stand below someone that's getting baptized downstream. You know why? Because when you go in, all your sins are washed away. They don't go upstream, they go down. So, but somebody will be brave enough to do that, keep you safe. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Keep taking us further and further and closer to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.